What up, what up, what up? Back again for another great episode, the FTN Fantasy Show. It is a dangerous time right now. I'm recording a podcast during the trade deadline window because Tuesday, 4 p.m., that's when the window closes. Matt Okada, what's going on, my brother?
I am waiting with bated breath for some exciting fantasy-relevant trades and prepared to be disappointed.
Listen, I want to be open and clear and honest with our audience, okay? It is 10 a.m. We are recording this. We are hoping that nothing happens immediately after we post this. But of course, that's usually what happens. But there's only one trade that I've had my eye on for the last 48 hours. But we will save that for a later portion of the show where we're going to go down to our trade wish list. But Okada, I love to start the pod off. And I love to see in the fantasy streets on the timeline that you dropped a new article. Okay. I love starting the show with the meat, the potatoes. What is our need to know for week 9, brother? I mean, I got to have the top 3 things.
All right. I've got 3 things from the article. Remember, by the way, if you want to read all 10, because there are 10 every week, just go to ftnfantasy.com.
Yes, sir. Nice plug.
Number 1, if you want to talk about meat and potatoes, Aronde Gadsden the second. Is like a filet mignon at this point, Laquan. He's not quite a tomahawk. There's a couple tomahawks in the league that technically are a little better, but
now I'm getting hungry.
You're not going to get, You're not going to get too much better than Aronde Gadsden. And I don't know that everybody has realized yet quite how good he is. And there's also a reality. I host a trade like Discord AMA where people ask, what should I do with this? What should I do with that? Should I trade these people? So many people in the fantasy streets have Aronde Gadsden the second and another good tight end like Brock Bowers or Tyler Warren because they picked up Gadsden. Gadsden is not the guy you want to trade right now, in my opinion. I think trade the other guy who holds all the value because I don't know that Gadsden's going to be much less productive than those guys rest of season. Last we saw him was on Thursday night. He had 5 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown, Laquan, which sounds pretty dang good for a tight end. But all of that happened in the first half because then the Chargers were blowing out the, was it the Vikings they were playing?
Yes.
Yes. Blowing out the Vikings so bad that they never had to throw the ball again. He never even got another point for the rest of the game. So he was dominating and he looks 100% of the part of a truly elite fantasy tight end. He has averaged more than 7 targets, 6 catches, and 100 yards per game the last 3 weeks and has touchdowns in back-to-back games. He has completely replaced Quentin Johnson, in my opinion, as the downfield threat. Quentin Johnson has no hands, so that's not surprising. It all came back to roost. That's what we were all saying early in the season, Laquan, how quickly Quentin Johnson has found hands. But what we have now learned is they were fake hands, and he doesn't actually have any hands.
He took the stick'em gloves off, I guess. I don't know. But it's just a wild decline for me because, like, real quick, like, personally, having Quentin Johnson in a couple of leagues, it's like, all right, he picks up that injury. He comes back into the fold. No, my guy, you went on vacation, and they found another target that can be even higher in terms of efficiency of how this offense could be ran. Aronde Gaskin is serious, and you said it, Okada. Like, that is a need to know for week 9, 10, 11, all the way into the fantasy playoffs. Do not sell Aronde Gaskin. I know some leagues, they stretch out. Your trade deadline may be this week, next week, whatever the case may be. You are sitting tight on Aronde Gaskin, and please make sure you are shipping off the bigger name. Ship off the guy that everybody has heart eyes. If I have a George Kittle right now, Okada, to be honest, I'm willing to ship it. If I have a TJ Hockenson and somebody's out there Google eyes for him, I'm willing to ship it. So abso-freaking-lutely. Give me another one because that was a really good one.
I will give you another one. One closing thought. The only guy that I would not ship out right now if you have Gadsden is Brock Bowers. And the reason is not that Brock Bowers is the best tight end in fantasy because he's not right now by a long shot. The reason is that I don't think you're going to get the Bowers return on value right now because he had one okay game and then has been injured or basically injured all year and either playing through the injury or missing time. So hold on to him, play Gadsden, Once Bowers is healthy and producing as an elite tight end, then you can trade him or Gaston, whichever you want. Number two on the list. Unfortunately, Jordan Mason is cooked.
How quickly? Another one. How quickly we have fallen to the deep depths of hell of the fantasy streets.
And just like Quentin Johnston, this was a how quickly the rise and how quickly the fall. And I think there's a saying somewhere about the quicker they rise, the quicker they fall. One. Is that not a thing?
The bigger they are, the harder they fall. I mean, geez.
True, that is also one. Jordan Mason was highly drafted to start the year. He wasn't that great playing with Aaron Jones, but then Aaron Jones got hurt. And he posted 23.6 fantasy points in week three. And we were like, oh my, we might have ourselves an RB1 on our hands. Now, looking back, it's worth noting that that game was against the Bengals, who have been horrendous against running backs.
And we knew matchup. And we knew by that game that the Bengals were bad. This was public information in the summer. Yes. So that is actually great to note.
In every game since that game, he has scored fewer than 12 half PPR fantasy points. He had just 1.1 point on Thursday when Aaron Jones returned from IR in that aforementioned horrible game and against the Chargers. Again,
he does that.
Blowout. Yeah, it really messed things up. He's going to have more carries in future games because the Vikings shouldn't get blown out that badly. But he is the lesser half, it seems like, of a backfield committee in a struggling offense with a mess at quarterback. They're probably putting J.J. McCarthy back in because Carson Wentz is now out. But McCarthy was not good to start the year, and he's been injured. So I don't think he's gotten better while he's been missing time and practice and all this stuff. He's not really involved in the receiving game, so you kind of need those touchdowns. And two of his four touchdowns this year came in that Bengals game again. Worst defense against the running backs.
Yeah.
I don't think that his 30 to 40, maybe 45% snap share that he's going to have in this bad offense is going to be enough to even crack RB3 range rest of the year, Laquan. I think he's an RB4 or worse. I don't know that I can tell you something to do with him. If you can trade him away for some speculative piece, I certainly would do that. Like Trey Benson. If the Omarion Hampton manager is desperate for wins right now, and you can trade Jordan Mason and something cheap for Omarion Hampton, sure. But overall, just Mason is cooked, and I don't think we're getting any fantasy points out of him rest of the year.
That freaking sucks. That breaks my heart. I want to jump off something very high in my house inside. All right, I'm not going to completely go away. I'm going to be very hurt when I jump off of that couch. So I want to say this, though. I have Jordan Mason in a lot of leagues. Okada, you know I'm a huge Jordan Mason fan because I was the one who was able to turn the rock over and let everybody see in 2022 that Jordan Mason is freaking good at football. But I will cop a plead for him real quick. This Vikings O-line has not been great either. I don't think we're going to get much from Aaron Jones behind this O-line either. I don't think that this run game is going to be able to support the project that J.J. McCarthy is right now. Like, it's going to be a wash season to me, how I look at this. Like, Justin Jefferson's suffering. Like, my only high hope is that with J.J. coming back, we can get red zone targets. We can get end zone targets. Hey, we can get a touchdown because that's the last time Justin Jefferson has found the end zone. And that's been very hard to see and watch and deal with. And to understand that half of his red zone and end zone targets have come from J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz, what were we doing? Were we not seeing 18? So there's a lot going on with this Vikings offense where I'm kind of turned off from the whole situation. If you could ship Jordan Mason as a add-on to whatever package trade you're dealing, do it now. Because it's one of those situations like I would take a Kenneth Walker right now. I would receive a Kenneth Walker with a Zach Charbonnet already being the thorn in the side that we kind of seen coming, right? I would rather that. That's where my eyes are now to get away from Jordan Mason. Number three, I'm very curious because, again, I know how you operate. I know how you work. You want to get your best, your absolute must needs in there. And number three, always, it's the cutoff line. Like, what was four? What was five? Like, I'm really curious at what this third must need to know for week nine is.
Number three, I like to save my favorite one for last, Laquan. If you listen to this podcast, any other podcast I was on, read any articles I wrote in the offseason, You know that I love DeAndre Swift, and I have loved DeAndre Swift since the offseason. And I don't know that DeAndre Swift is getting the love from the rest of the fantasy streets that he deserves, Laquan. So I'm here to wingman my boy, DeAndre Swift, so that everybody knows just how good he has been. Since week four, he has been amazing, and especially since the Bears kind of figured out their run game through their week five bye, he has been better than amazing. 14 or more half PPR fantasy points in four straight weeks. 17 and a half opportunities per game. That's carries and targets over that stretch. A touchdown in every single outing over that stretch. 128 scrimmage yards per game in the three contests since the bye. On the entire season, Laquan, he is the RB9 in points per game.
Preach, brother.
The RB9! That is better than Saquon Barkley, even after Saquon's huge game last week. That is better than Kyren Williams. That is better than James Cook in fantasy points per game. His very worst fantasy outing all this whole year was all the way back in week one. That was his worst game all the way back in week one. And he still had 8 fantasy points on 22 opportunities with 65 yards. I don't think there is a better, like, true number two RB2 type player in fantasy. He has a matchup with the Bengals this week. You heard me ranting about the Bengals earlier.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to pop off. Kyle Manungai also might score a decent amount of fantasy points this week because the Bengals defense is so bad. But Swift is going to be an RB1 this week. And I don't know that he should be viewed even as an RB2. He might just be an RB1.
Right. I was just about to say it. Just say it. You know you want to say it because you know you want a victory lap it as well. Me and you both were on the same page when it came to DeAndre Swift. We were like, hey, guys, I'm looking at this ADP and something just feels weird. Right. And we're here in week 9 telling you to go out there and get yourself a DeAndre Swift. Go out there and give this guy his flowers, because I think what's being masked by all this is the Bears' chaotic passing offense, which, again, he contributes to. But we've seen that Ben Johnson was able to get this run game going 2 weeks ago where they had a season high in rushing plays, where you have Kyle Manungai looking like he could shape into that David Montgomery role to be that 1-2 punch with Swift. So this is a benefit if Kyle Manungai is going to be able to produce and contribute to this run game to have DeAndre Swift get pushed up to that RB1 badge. Like, I think people need to say it, stand on it, and believe it. DeAndre Swift is an RB1, folks. What are we doing?
I said at the end of the blurb on him in the article this week, this is the quote, Laquan. I'm gonna need you. I'm saying this so that you can hold me to it. You and the listeners. I said, if Swift isn't an RB1 this week, I'll eat my shoe on the FTN Fantasy podcast. And then I said, okay, maybe not my shoe, but at least a super sour warhead or something. So if you guys pay attention and somebody sees that DeAndre Swift somehow wasn't an RB1, hit me up, remind me, and I'll try to do something bad next week. But I'm not going to have to because he's an RB1.
Exactly. Listen, we are definitely going to hold you to that. I cannot wait to see you eat your shoe or something nasty as much as I want to see DeAndre Swift as an RB1 for the rest of the season. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. Now we're going to get into some trade talks, okay? The trade deadline is Tuesday, 4 p.m., ladies and gentlemen. That's when the window closes. But I want to speculate. I want a wish list. Like, for fantasy purposes, though, Okada, like, I'm looking at guys that I'm seeing on the fantasy streets, like, being talked about, like a Tony Pollard or Breece Hall, a Jacoby Myers, Calvin Ridley. Right? So, like, just having this wish list, like, I really don't want to play the predictor, but for fantasy, this would have huge implications. Like, there would be some impact. So, for instance, like, I want to bring Breece Hall up to the table. Like, Breece Hall's, he's tweeting out, eating popcorn, like, he's waiting for something to happen. Like, I mean, honestly, like, what would you think, like, would be the best fantasy location for him? Because me, personally, I think it's the Chiefs.
Ooh, baby. I'm hesitant to say that I want Breece Hall to go to the Chiefs because I don't want the Chiefs to do well.
Yes, of course. As the Patriots fan. Yes.
Yes, exactly. I'm tired of the Chiefs. I want their legacy to end so that the Patriots legacy can live on.
That's an insane statement after being spoiled for so many years with Belichick and Brady.
Listen,
that's an insane statement, man.
If the Chiefs legacy passes the Patriots legacy, do you know how much of my life value disappears, Laquan? I need to be a fan of the greatest sports franchise in history, so I can't have these Chiefs be coming up and replacing my Patriots.
You know what? Anyway, I respect that. I respect that as a Manchester United fan, because we have dominated the Premier League for so many years with Sir Alex Ferguson. But to see Chelsea or Liverpool outlive our dynasty, yes, that would be heartbreaking. I would have to bury myself underground. But please, proceed. Exactly.
But I agree 1,000% with you. I think this is the spot on call. Now, would the Jets do this? I don't know. It depends maybe on the price point they would get back. Would the Chiefs do this? I also don't know. But if I'm the Chiefs, it's a zero question. I'm absolutely smashing this. First of all, I liked this before Isaiah Pacheco was banged up. He is now week to week with an MCL sprain. But even without that injury, let's assume all their guys are healthy, they still don't have that guy. They're 19th in rushing yards by running backs on the year. They do not have a single running back with 350 plus rushing yards. They're one of only six teams who don't have that kind of a guy. But most importantly, their running back's explosive run rate, Laquan, 7.9%, sixth lowest in the league. Breece Hall, 15.4% explosive run rate. That is the fourth highest among qualified running backs. He's also a good downfield receiver. He is, I think, the perfect fit. You know, we all know how much this team loves speed. Breece Hall going there would give them a massive boost and well-roundedness to their offense that they need right now, and would be big for him for fantasy, where he could go score touchdowns for once.
I'm about to say, that will probably break a lot of fantasy rosters, right? Like, that will be like, I do not want to face Breece Hall this week. I don't want to face him near the playoffs or in the playoffs. So the Chiefs could be dangerous. Now, a situation that's going on in Tennessee I want to bring up to the table is Tony Pollard. Like, does he seem like a trade target? Like, when I looked at this, like, trying to, like, compare him and Spears and, you know, Spears' return back, like, I like what I've seen from Spears. Like, but is there a place or location that you think Tony Pollard can go?
I think there is. It's not very exciting necessarily, but I don't, he's just kind of like, hasn't been doing much in this offense. This offense isn't doing much at all. It makes more sense to like go with Ty J. Spears, the more explosive, well-rounded guy, ship off Pollard for a pick and move on, which is what the Titans should be doing anyway. It's their 1-7. By the way, quick note that I forgot to mention. Go add Isaiah Davis if he's on your waiver wire. He's the backup to Breece Hall. This Breece Hall trade rumor stuff, he would be a huge winner. But on Pollard, I have two
fantasy points.
I have two spots I will say, Laquan. One is a spot that I think might happen that would suck gigantic booty, and that would be the Patriots. The Patriots have been saying that they want a running back, or at least Mike Rice, Patriots reporter, has been saying that they want a running back. Ramondre Stevenson is banged up. Nobody in the fantasy streets wants this because we just want them to give the ball to their second round pick, who's an explosive Tre'Davious Henderson, but they refuse to do that. So that's one that could happen that would suck major, major butt. However, to make us feel a little bit better, perhaps, I will say one that I think is realistic and not as destructive for fantasy, and that would be the Chargers. Because we know the Chargers have been wanting a second running back, even when O'Marian was healthy. They wanted to have the Hampton-Harris duo. Harris is out for the year. Pollard would give them another piece alongside Vidal until Hampton gets back, and then another piece alongside Hampton to have that kind of two running back system, which I think
does that kind of like elevate Tony Pollard's fantasy value though? Because like
probably.
I could see him like there's two paths that there's literally two pictures you just painted. Him operating in the Chargers offense where I can give him that RB2 badge, right? Like the Patriots, though, I don't know if I can stamp him as a RB2. I still think he lives and breathes at what he is in Tennessee. So that is one of the situations of like, I hope he goes to a situation like the Chargers, but realistically, do I see it happening? No, it's more so like I can see the Patriots pulling the most toxic thing ever in life and trading for a running back after drafting one with such high value draft capital. And we've seen him be explosive. We've seen him be dangerous. I don't understand it, Okada. You're the Patriots fan. I'm going to let you cook with that.
No, I don't want it. I'm just saying.
I don't want it. Like, it's really, really insane to me that we are still talking about getting the ball to Travion Henderson in week 9 after such an electric start. But DJ Moore, I want to bring him up because this is an interesting one, because we're not seeing Ben Johnson really utilize him any different than what we've seen this entire season. It is now week 9, right? This is majority of the fantasy season at this point. If he's going to be traded, I want him traded somewhere where he can produce, right? I do think there's obvious locations, but I don't want to send him to Vegas, right? I don't want to send him to a Cardinals team. Like, I don't want to send him anywhere where, like, it's not, the project is not fully completed. But can DJ Moore, like, not rebirth it, but kind of bring it back from the grave of type of resurrection of fantasy relevance in a different offense than the Bears? Or do you see him as a guy that stays put and kind of just gives us 9 fantasy points for the rest of the season?
This is tough to know because of what he's been for the past couple of years. It would be kind of strange to see them just ship him away for nothing. But to your point, he has not been doing enough. Like, he hasn't been doing what he's being paid to do, and he has not been doing what the expectations he's set in recent years to do. So I could see them shipping him out. It would open the door for Luther Burden, who they drafted highly, to kind of be the next DJ Moore, you would expect. So I could see that happening. If you wanted me to name a name, I've got a name for you. I think the Seattle Seahawks should consider going and getting DJ Moore. Because they've got Jackson Smith and Jigba, obviously incredible, has been an unbelievable true number one, playing to the outside, playing downfield. He is unlocked at levels where he was not unlocked in the first couple seasons of his career. But after that, they got Cooper Kupp.
Do they? Is he playing? Exactly. Who is that?
Like, so going and getting another piece for a team that has a great defense, a good run game, as frustrating as it may be to us, efficient, they can throw the ball downfield. I think it might be smart to get them another piece who can add another element to that receiving core.
That is a great landing spot. Okada, if you had to guess off the top of your head, does Cooper Kupp have more or less than 25 catches this season?
Well, based on the contact, I'm going to have to go with less this year.
He has 24. I had to look that up. Oh, I'm like, boy. Seriously, is this guy playing? Like, I really had to look and see, like, what has he done? And it hasn't been much. So this move to me, not only would strap them contract-wise to DJ Moore, but this will give him fantasy relevance in terms of the offense he'll be landing in. Like, it's a very run-heavy offense, but we know Sam Darnold's one of the best deep ball passers in the last 2 seasons. Like, there's nothing you can tell me if you give this boy DJ Moore and Jackson Smith the Jigma. Yeah, Sam Darnold might be elevated to a QB1 if this happens in the next couple, you know, days.
Also, fun little note, Laquan, in DJ Moore's 163 target, 93 catch year with 111,157 receiving yards in Carolina back in 2021, you know who his primary quarterback was?
Sam Darnold.
Ooh! Ooh! Just saying. A little reunion.
Make it happen, Captain! Reunite him! There's one last one I want to bring up. Actually, there's 2 more I want to bring up, not last one. The first one, though, is Jacoby Myers. This one I've had a hard time actually picturing myself, you know, saying that I can elevate him beyond a flex play, because it's like no matter where he goes, Jacoby Myers is a better real life, you know, football player than a fantasy asset. So it's like, this move to me just feels like it's bland. Like, even if he does get traded, there's not a location where I see this being like, now we can start starting Jacoby Myers as a wide receiver too. Now we can move him up in the ranks. Like, this one to me just feels like, damn, man, I hate it to see to be Jacoby Myers going out like this, where in a few seasons, we might not even know which team he's on. Like, this is really, really bad.
Yeah, I would tend to agree pretty much that Myers, in order for Myers to be good as a fantasy asset, he has to be a 140 target season kind of guy, like an 8 target a game kind of guy.
He can't share the pie.
No, because he's not explosive. He is a possession guy, a slot possession guy who wins off of volume. At this point in the year, I don't really think I see a team that needs that to that degree to where he's good for fantasy. I will say, I wrote an article for NFL.com this past week with a bunch of trade deadline fit suggestions, kind of what we're doing right now. And I had Jacoby Myers in there going to the Patriots, which obviously it makes a lot of sense narratively speaking, because he's been there before. He was with Josh McDaniels. He then followed Josh McDaniels to Las Vegas, which is why he's there. Now Josh McDaniels is back in New
Come
England.
Come save me, bro.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense to reunite, speaking of reuniting, that duo. But if they do that, it gives them a better slot guy than DeMario Douglas, I think.
Yeah.
But he's not getting 8 targets a game with Stephon Diggs, Kayshon Booty, Hunter Henry. They're kind of like the Packers of the East, the AFC East, in where they're just playing a bunch of guys and it's hard to predict who's who. So he could go there, but he'd like end up being like Romeo Doubs or Jaden Reed when he was healthy, except he's not explosive as Jaden Reed, where you don't know what week he's going to hit. You don't know what week Diggs is going to hit. You don't know what week Booty's going to hit. I can't think of another place that he really would be a great fit and be great for fantasy.
Last night, I was like, maybe Carolina. Like, but then I said, that wouldn't change his fantasy value. Like, that would just put him in another situation where it's like, okay, now you have Tetro McMillan to worry about. Now you have Jalen Coker, who can also operate from out wide and in the slot. And then you're dealing with, hey, who's that quarterback and healthy? I mean, Mike White can elevate from the practice squad, and it means I don't know if that means good things for Bryce Young. So Andy Dalton stinks. I didn't want to leave that out. He ain't Joe Flacco. So moving on, I do feel like Jacoby Myers, to me, it seems like it's a wash season. Like, I still get start and sit questions with folks asking about him, and it's like kind of hard to answer because it's like he's in a bad offense. Quarterback is not great right now. Even if he is traded, I honestly don't see him moving the needle either way. So it's like, folks, pull the Band-Aid off. Like, drop him. Trade him.
Well, one other one that I'll say is realistic. I'd be curious to get your fantasy take on it, but the Steelers have been looking for a wide receiver for sure. They have been vocally looking for a wide receiver. DK Metcalf has not been getting the target load that we kind of expected. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't have that go-to guy that he normally does have. If he went there and started playing out of the slot with DK having the opportunity to be more of like the downfield striker, that could be kind of interesting. I'd be curious how much Aaron Rodgers could really elevate him, but that might be a better spot than most of the other options we've got.
So let me ask you this. Was there ever a fantasy-relevant wide receiver two in an Arthur Smith system? Let's go back to Tennessee. Let's go back to Atlanta. Let's try to see if there is a wide receiver to fantasy relevant. This goes back to my point. Even if Jacoby goes there, I don't see it moving the needle because the fantasy streets boogeyman, Arthur Smith, does not care about our fantasy teams. Jacoby Myers was simply to be there to be deployed at random times of why we've seen a Darnell Washington, a Jonnu Smith, a Pat Freiermuth mixture into the wide receiver two or second option of the Steelers offense. And when you look at the volume that DK Metcalf is supposed to be getting over expected, is there a stat that is out there that can show us our over expected target share of what he should be seeing just based on his talent? I mean, Okada, he has 43 targets on the season. That's less than Travis Hunter, who is playing on both sides of the ball. Like, this is really nasty work seeing this. And like, honestly, I get it. Am I surprised? No, it's Arthur Smith. So I don't want to spend too much time on this other wide receiver. I think it's important. Calvin Ridley. Are we done seeing Calvin Ridley in a Titans jersey? Like, does he magically wake you up and be like, hey, he is now a Steeler. He is now a 49er. He is now a whatever. Like, does his fantasy value move the needle? And then my second question is, do we entertain the idea of a Titans wide receiver becoming fantasy relevant? So I'll let you answer those two first.
You're saying if Ridley leaves, does a Titans guy left behind? Okay.
Yes.
Chimere DK's poked his head up a little bit with Ridley being injured. And Alec Ironmaner had a ton of air yards all year, but Cam Ward and him can't complete a pass together. It's literally impossible.
It's frustrating.
So if Ridley leaves, I don't feel great about any of those guys. There is opportunity there and there is upside there, but would I bet on them with Cam Ward playing as bad as he has and this offense being as bad as it's been? Not really, no. Their hopes would raise a bit, but not going to get super excited about it. As for Ridley, I think there is one spot that makes a lot of sense for the team. It could make a good amount of sense for Ridley, and it could be pretty good for his fantasy value. It is a team that does not have a deep threat right now, and it's showing up in the quarterback stats very, very concerningly, despite the fact they're still winning a bunch of games. It is raining National Football League most valuable player, Josh Allen, and the Bills.
Oh,
hear me out,
boy. I was trying to think where you were going with this, but this sparks my interest. Now I might be sold. I lied. I might be sold on Calvin.
Their top target this year is Khalil Shakir. He is 44th in yards per game.
Yeah.
That's not a wide receiver one. He's a nice slot guy. He gets some good yak, but he's like a great wide receiver three or a solid wide receiver two. Their downfield option is Keon Coleman, who's averaging 9.9 yards per reception. So I don't know what's going on with him, but that's not even downfield. How much has it mattered? You're not going to believe these numbers, Laquan. I highly doubt. On deep attempts this year, 20-plus air yards down the field, Josh Allen is 7 of 21 with 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and a 29.4 passer rating that is third worst in the league. This team is broken downfield. And I don't even have to give you the numbers for you and all the listeners to know that Josh Allen has a great deep ball. We're not talking about some dink and dunk guy who can't throw the ball down the field. He was incredible when he had Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis down the field. I think Calvin Ridley could be that guy. I think he also has the ability to be a heavy target guy to where he becomes more or less the true wide receiver one there. In the article I wrote for NFL.com, I suggested Chris Olave, but that's a very high mark to hit. I don't know if the Saints would be willing to move that. Calvin Ridley might kind of be budget Chris Olave, and that would be huge for the Bills in their quest for the Super Bowl.
I was thinking they go cheaper. Bigger upside with Brian Thomas Jr. over there in Buffalo. But you sparked my interest. You sparked my interest. I know Liam Cohen spoke about it. They don't have plans on moving him. Fine. That's cute. We've seen people lie to the media all the time. If the price is right, you were moving that boy. Honestly, this has been a great segment. And I hope that some of these moves actually happen. Because, again, there's fantasy implications on a lot of different sides of the spectrum of it. So it's like I'm really looking forward to this trade deadline to make some impact for a lot of fantasy rosters out there that are chasing the playoffs. So we're going to take one more break and we're going to come back with Ask the Fantasy Streets, where we get your questions, the listeners, the viewers, TikTok. Y'all been really tapped in with us. So we got a lot of your questions to help you out for this week and beyond. And we are back. Let's go Ask the Fantasy Streets. Now, Okada. On FTN Fantasy's TikTok, man, I like to tap in with the Fantasy Streets there. I go live twice, three times a week. You know, throughout the day, I'd just be answering DMs over there on the FTN Fantasy TikTok page. And there's some questions where I'm like, damn, I got to get this to the pod. Because, like, I feel like when I give my opinion, I like to tap your brain. I like to sit there and throw it out into the group chat and be like, what would you do in this situation? So I'm going to start with the first one. This is Huntman999 off of TikTok. Should I trade? I always like these questions. They all started the same way. Like, I thought, like, that's just like what he said. And then everybody goes, should I trade? And then send copy paste of their team. But should I trade Chris Olave, Jordan Addison for Aston Jeanty and Tyrone Tracy? No context was given to me on this. This is what sat in the DM. And I'm sitting to myself, Chris Olave and Jordan Addison for Aston Jeanty and Tyrone Tracy? What you thinking, Okada?
I am thinking that we need the context, unfortunately, but I will try to pitch you the answer for multiple potential contexts. The reason I say this, of course, is because you're trading two wide receivers for two running backs. That's right. This is not a running back wide receiver swap for a running back wide receiver swap, or even a running back wide receiver for two of one of the positions where you're just kind of like getting some better depth. This is you are trading two startable wide receivers for two startable running backs. So if your lineup is such that you have five startable receivers and no startable running backs, then this is incredible. And for what it's worth, I think it's pretty fair. I think both ways it can be fair if both teams need the other position.
Yeah.
If that's not the case and you have two or three startable running backs already and you're losing Olave or Addison is typically starting for you, I don't know why you would make this trade. Maybe it seems like getting Aston Jeanty is a huge, huge move. I don't really know that that is the case. I think he's kind of been a major disappointment that I don't see being much better down the stretch. And Tyrone Tracy obviously is going to get the starting job now, but he's not Cam Scataboo, and I don't know that he's going to be that incredible down the stretch. Still, though, but, I think this is fair if you need the running backs.
It's fair, but I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this for a couple of reasons without even context. If I'm willing to trade Chris Olave and Jordan Addison, that means I am stacked at the wide receiver position. I am not worried about it. These guys are riding me to the championship, but I am bleeding. I am cut at the gut, bleeding at the running back position. To acquire Aston Jeanty and Tyrone Tracy, I think you're honestly putting the smallest Band-Aid ever on your cut gut wound. Because I look at it like this. Jeanty has been disappointing. Tracy has been disappointing operating behind this trash Giants O-line. Tracy's not going to be able to operate how Cam Scataboo was operating behind that trash O-line for simple reasons. One, vision difference. Two, his ability to break off the tackle Scataboo versus Tyrone Tracy. That's not his game. Okay, so the yards before contact, the story is very telling between the two. That out of my way. And this guy just picked him up off the waivers last week, and now he's throwing him in a package deal to acquire. Two wide receivers have shown us wide receiver two consistency. Hell to the no. I am not taking this trade without context. And Huntman999, if you are listening, I hope you didn't go off and react. I hope you understand this. With this pair, if you're still trying to trade these wide receivers, aim higher. This trade is getting done to hurt Bucky Irvin with another package running back. This trade right here might get you to flirt with a DeAndre Swift because you can paint pictures for this manager saying, hey, both of these guys have hitting high ceilings. Both of these guys have decent volume. And Chris Olave, this guy has all the volume strapped to him. So you can paint those pictures over there. I'm not taking this garbage trade. I am shooting higher if I still want to move these guys. Right, Okada?
I don't hate that. Yeah, I don't hate that take either. I think you need to make a move to get running backs if this is the move you're looking to make.
Yeah.
But if you can get better ones, I like getting better ones. If you can get DeAndre Swift, yes.
Hello, if I can get DeAndre Swift just with these two and they throw in another, I don't even care who the other guy who's coming over. If it's Zach Charbonnet, thanks. If it's Jalen Warren, absolutely. Thank you. These are the package deals that you want to do when you're doing wide receiver running back. Like, I want the same type of eye level of value in terms of what they can do when I put them in my starting lineups. These two on the right side, Jeanty and Tracy, it's not happening. Let's go to another one. Running back help. I think a lot of people need help at the running back position. Like, I'm tired of rolling out Bam Knight, which I am this week, by the way. Tired of rolling it. But
he has a great matchup.
a great matchup. I'm folks, start Bam Knight. RB help. Start Kyle Manungai or Tajay Spears. Raul Matthew is asking on TikTok.
Ooh, okay. This is an interesting one because I would typically in like a even mashup between the two, I would take Spears. But I mentioned it earlier in the DeAndre Swift section, Laquan, the Bengals defense against running backs. Oh my Lord. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So I think I go Manungai here. I think DeAndre Swift can post 25 fantasy points, and Manungai can still post 10 to 15 against this defense.
That's fair. I like that. I like that take because I was leaning Kyle Manungai. That's what I actually told Raul. I told him this last night. I'm like, I'm leaning Kyle Manungai because we know with public information that the Bengals are trash against the running back position. So trash. And like, I would feel bad telling him to go Spears just because we saw Spears last week go up in some points in the RB2 range. Like, I understand your carryover momentum excitement, but got to go matchup based here. Like, I'm leaning whether the guy has the higher ceiling and Kyle Manungai has a chance to show up and show out. Now, this is dirty. I want to handle business, okay? Oh. Because this is insane that Okada texted me yesterday, like, hey, just drop the trade off in the bank. Check it out when you get a chance. I'm sitting back looking at the trade as that text comes down. I'm like, I'm going to make you sweat it out. I'm going to answer you on the pod. You know what Okada did? He went back and said, okay. And started wheeling and dealing after he left the chat. 22 minutes later. That is an episode of Friends, okay?
True.
Majority of the episode. This guy said, too late, deal done. And I'm like, bro, I didn't even get a chance. Like, did you process? Like, did it? What happened? Like, I want to know that end of the story before we reveal what the actual trade was.
Okay, so I'm trying to pull up my text train with both you and the other manager.
Wow. Side by side.
Yeah, so I sent a trade offer. I was trying to get a wide receiver in this Dynasty League in which I am 8-0 and going for the three-peat. Just ran throwing that out there. But I need some wide receiver depth, and I have a gazillion seconds. So I sent... Okay, here it is. It was... Nope, that's not it. Here it is. I sent an offer. At 2:49, I texted him. When did I text you? Probably around the same time?
I swear to God, hold on. It might have been around the same time, bro. Because it was right before I went to go get my kids.
2:48! Okay,
you
so
bastard.
I sent the offer to you first. I sent a second for the receiver. I won't reveal it yet that you have. And 1 minute later, I sent a second for a receiver that this guy had, which was Ricky Pearsall. And then I texted you, and then I texted him, and you responded pretty quickly. And he responded with, well, I'll do it for a slightly higher second because I unironically have 7 of the 12, or I had 7 of the 12 seconds.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, which one do you want? We talked down in about 5 minutes, and he was willing to take a mid-second for Ricky Pearsall. And I was like, even if Laquan is willing to take my lowest second for the player, I think I'd rather have Ricky Pearsall for a mid, so I didn't even come back to you for a counteroffer or anything, and I just hit accept.
Why are you the way you are is how I responded to finding out that this man wheeled and dealed behind my back. Like, bro, I thought we was just in the office, just me and you talking one-on-one. Let's talk business. Because I was going to counter. I know that was one of the worst second-round picks that you got. I want more it investment. Was. And plus... For my guy now, Davante Adams, this guy sent a 2026 second, low tier on the bottom of where it is in the draft. But for Davante Adams, you thought I was going to accept that, brother? I was going to tax that ass. Okay,
I thought so.
I was going to tax you. If I'm going to give up one of my guys that's in the horns, I got to tax you. Because I see the vision for Davante Adams beyond the 2 years. I don't think this is him riding off the sunset. He's going to fall in love with LA. Don't be surprised if he signs an extension for one more last ride. And the Puka Nacua freshly signed and paid, with Matthew Stafford looking to add more collections to the jury. I was going to tax you, sir. So,
okay.
Yeah.
First of all, I love that we're getting some insider Rams thoughts as a result of this trade debacle. But I will say, when I was looking around for veteran wide receiver help that I could send a second for, and I was like, in my head, without even looking at your roster, I said, I'm going to go look and see who has Davante Adams. The second I searched his name and I saw that you had Davante Adams, I was like, well, I'm probably not getting him for a second, but I'll send it anyways. So when the other guy came back and he was like, yeah, I'll do a mid-second for Ricky Pearsall, I just said to myself, I'm not getting Devontae from Laquan for a second. I'm just going to take this. Which, in fairness, I was kind of right. But I just did it real quick.
Here's the thing. You ruined a good segment. Like, I was drawing out. I'm like, I'm going to make him wait.
Yep.
And sweat it out into the pod. And we'll discuss and deliberate. And
yeah,
we'll strike a deal live on the pod. And this guy goes behind my back and makes a quick pivot change. And not only did I would say this, I would take Ricky Pearsall over Davante Adams right now, because you see probably in what Dynasty. I see, and in Dynasty, in context, you see what I see. We're seeing Kyle Shanahan falling in love with him. We're seeing Brock Purdy building a strong chemistry with him. We're seeing him getting Brock Purdy's attention at a high level in terms of targets per routes. So I look at this like, you made the better move. Okay, because dealing with me, I was going to tax you hard. And folks who are in Dynasty Leagues with me, who are listening, who are tapped into the FTN Fantasy show and all the content that we do, you know I'm taxing heavy on all Rams players, Okada.
Yep.
So that's just
valid.
If you're coming to do business again,
valid.
I'm here. Okay, because we can still talk business. You can still get them.
Okay, we'll see. If my wide receiver core stays together, I won't need one. But if someone else gets hurt, which a couple guys have, I might be coming for Devontae at some point.
All right, let's help one more person out for the fantasy streets, man. This is a question on TikTok from Tech_Zoe. Start two. Interesting characters here, right? So obviously this is a flex situation because no context was given to me again. Sometimes they just throw this question in the DM. I answer back like, hey, send your team. No answer back. Here we are on the pod, but we're going to answer it just in case they're listening. Start two. Travis Etienne, Kareem Hunt, Jordan Addison, Stephon Diggs. Start two, Okada.
Ooh, okay. I think the clearest start is Etienne.
Okay.
And I think the clearest sit is Stephon Diggs. In fact, I write an article for Yahoo. It's kind of concerning how many different articles I write for so many different places. But it came out today, my fades and busts for week 9. Stephon Diggs is on that list. The Falcons defense is really good, and Diggs has been really inconsistent. So I think you're benching Stephon Diggs for sure. So to me, the question comes down to Kareem Hunt versus Jordan Addison. And I will say two things. One, if it's PPR versus half PPR, I'm assuming you're not playing no PPR because who does that?
Yeah,
but if it's full PPR, that leans me more towards Addison than Hunt. And if you feel you need upside versus floor, that leans me towards Addison over Hunt. Because I think Hunt has a higher floor with no Pacheco. I think he will be quite good this week. But he's not going to score 20, 25 fantasy points. And Jordan Addison can do that with a couple big plays and a touchdown or two. So I think it's quite close, and it depends a little bit on your settings. PPR, I lean Addison. Need for upside against a team who's favored, I would lean Addison. Otherwise, I'd probably go Hunt. But what's your take on these four?
I disagree.
Ooh.
I disagree with Travis Etienne being the clear. For Travis Etienne to be the clear start, he needs to have some trustworthiness in his tank. And I have not been able to trust him these last couple of weeks. And that's
true.
One of the things that coming out of the bye, they're supposed to make adjustments, right? But I think leading up to the bye, there was a lot of the focus on trying to get the ball to Brian Thomas Jr., figuring out a way to mold Travis Hunter to coexist with a Brian Thomas Jr. I think that attention is still that way, and I think that they're going to attack this Raiders secondary. I think he is still part of the function of this offense, but he is just not the things that we like in fantasy in terms of usage, in terms of valuable touches. I'm off of Travis Etienne until proven otherwise. I'm actually going to go with Jordan Addison and Kareem Hunt. I agree with you. Diggs is a sit for me. Not mess with Atlanta. I know the Falcons and the Dolphins were last week, and Waddle went crazy, and Malik Washington showed up. But I think that's an outlier game. I think Falcons were sleeping. You're not sleeping on the Patriots. This is a 6-2 team. You were locked in, okay? So I do think Hunt and Addison, I think those would be my locks.
Okay. I will note one thing, because I agree with you, Etienne has been very untrustworthy. I will note one thing. If you look at his first four games, if you look at his game log on your app, pull up your app, listeners, look at Travis Etienne's game log. The first month of the season, you think he looks amazing, double-digit fantasy points in every week. Then the next three, he scores single digits in every week and has been quite bad. And so you're like, what the heck is going on here? Are they moving away from Etienne? Is Etienne losing his job? It's not impossible, and I am worried about trusting him. However, if your app also shows the defensive rankings for those teams that he faced over those stretches, take a gander at that as well, because these past 3 weeks before the bye, Chiefs, Seahawks, Rams. Those are three of the hardest matchups for running backs in fantasy, and I think that's a lot of the reason that he has sucked. I will tell you, Laquan, I considered writing up ETN for my bust at running back this week for that Yahoo article. And then I looked into this and I was like, I need to see him against a middling or bad defense before I'm convinced to give up on him. So this week he has a matchup against a middling Raiders defense. I think the Jaguars win this game. For those reasons, I'm willing to roll ETN out with the hopes that it was a matchup-based thing. All that being said, I do agree with you that he kind of needs to prove it and earn my trust.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt and Jordan Addison just aren't like locked in trustworthy guys to me either. So I'll just take the guy that I think is more likely to score the most points, which is Etienne. But I
like see you made a strong point, because Travis Etienne needs to find the end zone in some of these tough battles that he's against. But there's also the note of like, he didn't look terrible against the Chiefs. I actually would say they should have leaned more into running him, because he looked like the only bright spot on that offense in that game. But again, they got the most ugliest, most Trevor Lawrence way to win that game. And then in the Rams game, I think he was honestly strapped to finding the end zone, where the Rams have not allowed a rushing touchdown to the running back position this season. So that's
the only team in the league.
Only team in the league. And this is the longest that this defense under Sean McVay in this era has ever not allowed a rushing touchdown to the running back position. So it's like, okay, that's amazing. So I just feel like Travis Etienne, man, he's had his opportunities, had his shot, but he's being capped by the vision of Lee and Cohen. Like, he doesn't look at him as the Bucky Irvin. Like, he's not excited to get him going, because in the games that we're talking about, 5.5 yards per carry against the Rams. Seahawks, disgusting, 2.3. But the Chiefs, he's still getting over 4 yards per carry. And then the freaking 49ers, 6.5 yards per carry. So he's been efficient. So it's like, I don't understand the disconnect between him and Leon Cohen, but I don't understand the disconnect between Trevor Mid-Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr., a.k.a. Mid-Lawrence. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of confusion there, and, like, that circus needs to get figured out. But, buddy, Broham, this has been a great episode of the FTN Fantasy Show. True. We helped the fantasy streets. You helped them with the three things that they needed to know. We came together and figured out that this trade was never going to happen with that offer that you sent my way. But yeah, man, it's been amazing. I can't wait to get after it next week to see if there's any trade moves that have been made, any impacts. And honestly, man, week 10, we'll be looking at the road to the fantasy playoffs. This is where teams were locked in most leagues, where you cannot make a trade. This is the road to the fantasy playoffs, folks. So make sure you guys are locked in to the FTN Fantasy Show. Okada, was good. Any closing thoughts?
Let us pray that a fun trade happens in the real NFL and that it sets us up for fantasy success, but it probably won't, because it usually doesn't.
No.
But I'm optimistic.
Calvin Ridley to the Bills. Let's make it happen, NFL. Let's go. Yes.